Hold on to your seats and noses, folks, because you're listening to the No Farting Around Show, where we're all about taking your marketing from the toilet to the bank. I'm your host, Ashley Mae Fernandez, and each episode I plunge into the depths of marketing to bring you fresh perspectives that are deadly but not silent. So if you're ready to stop farting around and make your profits rip, let's cut to the cheese and get on with the show. Hello, everyone. I just wanted to give you a heads up that the episode you are about to listen to is actually an episode from a previous podcast that I used to have with my previous business partner, Rachel. But the episode was so good that I asked her if I could repurpose it for this podcast. And of course, she said yes. So I just want you to know that the podcast you're about to listen to will have both me and Rachel on it. And the sound is not the best. I recorded this when I first moved to my new house and my office was pretty much bare, so it is a little echoey. I have turned on studio sound to try and alleviate that sound quality. However, the episode is still good. It's still juicy. So dive on in and I will see you at the end of the episode. All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to series part three of our mind messaging series. So if you have not watched the two episodes previous to this
or listened
now, watched, I meant listened. Whoops. I was like, what did I say? Listened. If you have not listened to the past two episodes before this, pause here and go listen to those first, because we are doing this in order and it will make a lot more sense if you listen to the other ones first. Today, we're going to be talking about ideal client and a method that we created called our 5A method. So in the previous episodes, the last episode, we talked about speaking to the reasons why they don't have the result versus the result. And we talked a little bit about the 5A method in the very first episode, but we're going to dive a lot deeper into it here and then also do it in the context of what I call my hypno content framework. So I am a certified hypnotherapist, if you have not ever heard me say that. And I'm also an NLP practitioner. And so I started taking these concepts and infusing them within messaging because the subconscious brain is so important. And so we want to dig into the subconscious brain, because I know there's a phrase out there that I absolutely, not that I can't stand it, but I'm always go nuanced. I'm the nuance queen. And they always say people buy on emotion and back up with logic. But what ends up happening, what I see, and Rachel, I'm sure you can attest to this, is a lot of people will buy on that emotion. But the emotion is not an emotion of empowerment. It's an emotion of desperation, of scarcity, of panic, of anxiety. And then, yes, it might even be a little bit of excitement at first. And I know everyone listening here, you've probably felt this, or you have had clients who bought on excitement, or they've bought on a little bit of desperation and this scarcity, and it did not turn out well. You've always had to convince them through the process. And I always say this all the time, is if you have to convince them to it, you'll have to convince them through it. And I have worked with, and Rachel as well, I've worked with so many entrepreneurs who are just incredible at what they do. And then they end up attracting clients who they feel don't truly understand their process or don't truly understand their potential. And then you as the coach and me, I'm literally saying this for me, we would kind of almost get a little frustrated because we're like, dude, how come you don't see your potential as much as I do? And I started to really dig into this, especially coming from a subconscious brain standpoint and an NLP standpoint and that logical standpoint, right? We said earlier, the phrase is people buy on emotion, back up with logic. And my logic was, why not just speak to both? Why are you not speaking to both the emotional and the logical side? And the logical side is the brain, right? It's that subconscious brain. It's a lot of those programming, of those subconscious programming. And so I took all this knowledge and I kind of was like, all right, how can we dig into ideal client on a subconscious level? And not just the conscious level, right? Not just the, what kind of, imagine what kind of car they drive. What are they feeling? What are the emotions they're feeling? What problems do they have? I want to go a lot deeper because it is deeper. And so all of this kind of, what I want to say, this curiosity led me to create what I call the 5A method. And it is a method on really getting to the subconscious of your ideal client. And what is also amazing about this is that usually what you put out is who you attract. And so it says a lot about you as well. And that's why in our coaching, Rachel and I, we do a lot of subconscious work on you as well, because a lot of the subconscious work that you work on shows who you are attracting and also your desires. And a lot of the times your desires are also your ideal client's desires. And so it's just a really cool kind of, what is it? Gary Vee does jab, jab, hook or something like that, hook, jab, or something. I don't even know what it is, but it's a really good kind of two-way punch of, oh, I see this. And when you are exploring those subconscious pieces within yourself, and you actually go out and you start sharing about that, which we're going to be talking about in the Hypno Content Framework, your clients then feel so connected to you. And this is when the sales process, we talked a little bit about this either, the sales cycle shortens, because they literally just, I don't even care what you're saying. I trust you because you are getting inside of my brain and you're so much me. And then they feel just so connected to you that it literally does shorten the buyer cycle. Anything you want to add, Rachel, before I just jump in and start talking about the 5A method?
Yeah, I think super quick, two thoughts that came to my mind that when you were talking about emotions, people buying on emotions and backing up on logic, the thought that came to me, and just for everyone listening, thinking about as we're diving into ideal client and thinking about who you are and who you are attracting versus maybe who you want to attract, understanding too that sometimes what happens is that people will buy off of those heightened emotions, whether it's a good feeling emotion or not, it's still a heightened emotions. But what we have to realize too, as marketers and salespeople, is that emotions, even though they are important and they are information and we care about them deeply, they are fleeting and they're meant to be. And so I think a lot of times, and maybe you've been stuck in this pattern too, where you market to the emotions and then you're assuming that client, when they're buying with that emotion, is going to bring that emotion with them through the container or through the work that you're doing. And that's not going to happen. And just wanted to touch on that super briefly, because I think it's a lot of people, especially coaches, consultants, the clients that we work with that are really doing the work with their clients, not necessarily a done for you thing. You really have that emotional and personal investment too. You'll sell something to a client, you'll market with those emotions. The client will buy with those heightened emotions, and then they'll get into your container and maybe have a total subconscious meltdown. Yeah. They'll question everything, or maybe they'll stop showing up, or they'll have some sort of freak out where their nervous system is, oh, that emotion was really intense. And now that I actually have to dig in and follow through and do the work and implement, I'm not feeling so excited anymore. And so if we can eliminate some of that heightened emotion that people are buying from, your clients will also not need that heightened emotion to continue to fuel them, because we all know that's not sustainable to be excited 24/7. And there's nothing wrong. Nothing has gone wrong when we're feeling down or life happens or whatever. We can still progress and get the results in a container that we invest in. But that was just a nuanced thing, I guess, that I wanted to mention, that if that has been happening, you said it's the convincing them through it, but also there is a way in the way that we teach it to not market with those heightened emotions, so that it's a little bit more of neutral emotional ground for your clients to continue to actually show up and do the work and follow all the way through.
I even want to add to this, because that's such a great point. And I also want to just challenge you guys. This also does not open up a door for your client to use their intuition.
Yeah.
Usually when your intuition is speaking to you, it's from a very calm and neutral place, right? It's not from a all up in your head thinking and having those heightened emotions. So I love that, because, you know, on the flip side, when you do sell and you market with those high intense emotions, when your clients come in and then they do have that nervous system kind of shock and they aren't having that excitement throughout the entire program, one, it makes you feel like a bad coach or a bad service provider or whatever, right? It just makes you feel bad. And then on, because you feel bad, you then are having to work harder to be able to hold space for that client and manage their emotions when you could just have that emotional drama completely eliminated from the beginning. And so I do think on a subconscious level, as the marketer, and this is something that we talk a lot about with our clients, is this concept that you will always have subconscious beliefs about marketing. And there are so many because of how we've been conditioned. And one of them, and one of just even in general with money, which is money and marketing go hand in hand, is this subconscious belief, I have to work really hard to make money. And so this is a way that you're subconsciously sabotaging yourself to bring in clients who in fact make you work harder. Improving that. Yeah. And wouldn't it be so much nicer to just have your clients just 100% have used their intuition and completely have just complete assurance that this, your program or your services are the exact right services and match for them. And they're not just buying from a place of excitement, but they're buying from a place of calm and assurance of, I just know this is going to happen. Like, I know you're the person I'm going to work with, and just doing it and not having any drama around it. I'm telling you, when you get clients like that, it's a whole different ballgame. So thank you for saying that, Rachel.
Yeah, I have one tiny note that will lead us directly into the 5A method.
Okay.
I think will be really helpful. A lot of times clients will come to us and tell us that they know who their ideal client is, and then they'll dig in. And of course, they don't actually know the nuances of things. But then when we dig into it, sometimes what happens is that there's a lot of resistance of, I don't actually know the nuances of my ideal client, and or thinking that they don't know. And so what I want to offer as we dig into the 5A method and then the content framework that just connects so beautifully is, the more you know yourself and who you are and who you want to become and who you are becoming, the easier it will be to know and understand and speak to your ideal client as well. And I'm not saying that you have to do that work first and then go market, do all of the inner work and then figure it out. No, it's simultaneous. But I think sometimes people like to think about, oh, who is my ideal client and who are my best clients and who do I want to attract? And the only thing that I want to offer as we dive in is, whatever you want, whatever type of client you want to work with, whatever, you know, actions and abilities and beliefs and all of these things that we're going to talk about that you want in them, I want to challenge you as we dive in to start thinking about, am I those things right now? Or do I have a little bit of growth? Am I showing up the way I want my clients to show up? Am I embodying these things that I want? So it's like, I want, how can I be that first? How can I go first and really embody those characteristics? Some of them might not match, obviously, to your ideal client, but I just want to offer that because I think that sometimes if it feels hard to identify your ideal client, then that's where we just get to hold up the mirror to ourselves. Yeah. See what, where do, how do I want to show up that way? So, okay.
I love that. Thank you for saying that, because that is very true. And it can be a little challenging too, to sometimes, because me and Rachel both know, I'll just add this and I'll go right in, is that sometimes we do have clients come to us and they're like, I want to work with the multiple six-figure entrepreneurs. And it's not saying that our clients themselves have to be at the multiple six-figure mark, because we don't believe in that. We really truly believe you can help someone achieve something that you have not achieved. Yes. However, on a subconscious and mental level, are you actually capable of working with that person? Do you have the skill set? Do you have the capacity? Because we'll have clients come to us all the time and they'll say, oh, I want to sign 20 clients this month. And I'm like, if I handed you 20 clients right now, would you be able to handle them? And a lot of times the answer is no. So you do have to be an energetic match to the ideal client that you are also wanting to attract. And sometimes it's not that you aren't capable of working with those people, or you don't have the skill set or the knowledge. It's just sometimes you are not there mentally and spiritually, emotionally, right? That requires that person. So I really thank you, Rachel, for saying that, because that is such a good point. And it's also why we don't just coach on strategy, right? Because you could have the know-how all day long, but if you aren't an energetic match to the client you're trying to attract, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for saying that. Okay. Let's jump into 5A method. So 5A method is the filter in which we try to decide what are the characteristics of your ideal clients. I will say this, when we work with our clients individually, what I have them do is I have them fill out an entire, I don't want to say worksheet because that sounds weird, but an analysis of their top three clients that they've ever worked with the specific offer that we're helping them market. And then we also have them answer those same questions for the three worst clients that they've ever worked. And when I say worst, it doesn't mean those clients were awful and horrible. It might just mean they were a little, there was a little resistance in working with them, or that they could have gotten better results, or just something like that. They just were not the most enjoyable, which is fine. It's totally okay. There are people who are not a great fit for you as a client, and there means nothing about them and nothing about you. It just means that it just was not a great fit, and that's totally okay. So we have them fill that out. And then we have them fill that out based off of this criteria. So the first A in the 5A method is assets. And so we ask them, the assets means what do they already have in place or what do they already own? And this is something that if you are in a court of law, you could prove this. So for us individually, we'll just run this through our ideal client and the nuances of it. Our ideal client is someone who is usually around the six-figure mark. They have made six figures or they're very close to it, minimum. And the reason why we do that is because we are helping people with marketing and messaging. And this gives us data that they have been able to go out and sign clients and work with clients. So they literally have more evidence of who is a great fit client because they have worked with more clients. It sounds obvious, but a lot of people don't think about this. And it's not, oh, they have to be at the $100,000 or six-figure mark because we only want to work with people who have made that amount of money. No, it's because that amount of money brings the data that we need. It also shows us that they have actually gone out and marketed, right? And we're not about helping people create marketing. We're about helping people shift their marketing. We're about helping them look at what has already worked and what hasn't, and how can we amplify what already works and make it more aligned to the person that is out there marketing it. Because if you don't marketing the way you're marketing, you're not going to continue to market, right? That sounds very obvious, but I want you to see that as an asset that they have. That's something that if we were in a court of law, we could prove, hey, they have made at least $100,000 a year. Another thing that we would love for them to have is that they already have a validated offer. What that means is they've already created an offer that they have had at least 5 to 6 people buy and go through and experience. Whether this is a one-on-one offer, whether this is a group offer, it doesn't matter. We just need them to have had at least 5 or 6 people go through that offer. So again, we can have feedback. We can also prove that in a court of law. We can say, hey, they've had 5 or 6 sales for this very specific offer that we are helping them create marketing and messaging with. Any other assets you could think of, Rachel? Again, we're going to go through it quickly, but anything off the top of your head?
I think just to reiterate, for us specifically, it's what do they already have? And for us, our clients already have, they're visible. They are showing up. They have a platform that they are growing. It's obvious. You can prove that on this date, on this year, they had this many followers. They are growing. They are showing up, right? And that is really important too, because if we didn't say that and if we didn't list that as an asset, our clients wouldn't know, are you helping? You know, we focus, the messaging component can work anywhere, but we're not marketing ourselves as Pinterest experts or email messaging or marketing, whatever. And so having at least one, specifically one type of audience, at least that they are growing is.
And I'll even say, even on that as well, is that they've gotten clients from that platform. Yes. Because we've had some clients come to us and like, oh, I've only gotten all of my clients from word of mouth, which means you have not marketed. You've literally just gotten a client and that client went out and did all the marketing for you. Not to say that's bad. That's amazing. It's one of the best types of marketing. However, if we're going to be teaching you how to create content and messaging that brings in your perfect fit client, we need you to be showing up and creating content already. So yeah, that's even just another nuanced thing. So yeah, so what assets do your clients have? Is it easier for them? And I already talked about this again in the first episode, and I used the example of an email marketing strategist. So go back and listen to that episode again. And that's just another example of what are some assets and stuff that they've already had. I'll even say for us too, I'll go into assets they don't even need, which a lot of people do, is we don't need our clients to have a website. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Some people, oh yeah, I want them to have a website. I didn't have a website for the first 3 years of my business and I made $100,000 and I didn't have a website. So that's an asset that we don't really need to have. But say that because when you're sitting down and you're going through all of these, you might be putting a lot more on the list, but is it necessary? It would probably only be necessary if you're a web designer or a copywriter, right? You already want them to have a website so that you know how to create copy for them, right? So that's just another example. And then the next A, we'll go straight into the next A, is the actions. So first A is assets, second A is actions. So what actions have they already taken in the past, right? And again, this could, a lot of these can bleed into each other. So I even want to say that as well. But the reason why we break it up into five is because it does put your brain in a different perspective with each one. So when I say actions, what are some of the previous actions? So for us, our clients, some of the previous actions is we would love, love, love them to have is that they've already worked with a coach before. We don't really want to be someone's first coach. Why? Because it's a lot of pressure to be someone's first coach, as well as it would be a lot easier for us to do our job if our clients already have been in a coaching container and they already understand how to behave in a coaching container and they already understand coaching. We want them to already have a desire and already understand and know, this will go into the awareness of four, but they already know the importance of coaching, right? Actions for us as well. We also want our clients, again, to have already gone out and sold their offer. They already know how to sell, right? They already know how to do that. Some other actions, I know for me or for us and our clients in general, we would love for our clients to have already, I don't know if this is necessary, but for me, I would love our clients to have already taken some type of copywriting. They have a knowledge of copywriting in general. And so this would be an action. They've already dove into maybe a program around copywriting, maybe a pro or actions could be they've already gone down the subconscious or personal development road. They've read the, let's say, Get Rich Lucky Bitch or something like that. They are not strangers to the subconscious brain or personal development. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think the main one, at least for our clients thinking about it, is that they're already doing the things that will create visibility for them. They're already, again, you said studying copywriting or whatever, consistently writing, creating content and trying to improve. They're already trying to do that. And they have been doing that. They have been marketing. They have been selling. They have been making money. It's not where their first stop to start working on these things. And that is going to, it's going to, again, shorten the amount of time that we need to work with our clients because they already have so many of these things in place. And it's just, we come in and we pour all of the strategic and subconscious and somatic, quote unquote, gasoline on a already stoked fire. And it's, they're off to the races and it doesn't take a lot of time to educate them. It's, they have the knowledge and now we just get to help them take that knowledge and embody it, which is that wisdom. Yes. Piece.
And even here, guys, I want you to just step into your perspective as well, listening to this. Obviously we're giving examples of our clients, but it's so much easier for Rachel and I if our clients already have that knowledge, because me and Rachel aren't beginners in the subconscious. If someone came into our program and have never heard of the subconscious brain, me and Rachel are not going to, we're going to spend a lot of time trying to educate our client. And I would even argue waste time. And a lot of you guys are doing that because you're bringing in clients that aren't fully qualified to work with you. And then you end up wasting a lot of time trying to educate them and teach them when it's just 100 times easier. Because even the language that Rachel and I speak, if we were dropping things like human design and, you know, your seven chakras and all these, if we were dropping things like that as well as what's human design, we're going to spend a lot of time trying to educate them. I use this example with Rachel because Rachel was a French teacher. It would be us being a French 4 teacher and we're having students who need to be in a French 1 class. Yes, they could absorb some things, but it's going to be a lot harder to break things down because me and Rachel are at a level in our careers and a level in our services where we are past the beginner stage, which is fine. I'm not saying beginners are bad by any means. What I'm saying is they're not a perfect fit for us at where we're at in our business, right? So I want you guys to even think about that in your terms. And this is why it's so important for our ideal clients to already have that knowledge of the subconscious brain, to already, and almost all of our clients anyway, are also mindset coaches, right? They incorporate teachings with their clients, right? So of course they already know that. And so when we see other mindset coaches coming in, we're like, oh my God, yes, come work with us because it's so easy to be able to coach in your content with the framework that we teach you. It's amazing. But I just want to point that out, that look at this through your lens as well. What would make it so easy for your clients to get results? Right? Okay, I'll move on to the next one. 3 is the abilities. So 3 is abilities or skills. So this again can bleed a lot into the action. So a skill that we would really like our clients to already embody is writing copy, creating content already, having knowledge of Instagram or Facebook or doing all those things, right? Because if they don't know how to create content already, they're not going to be a perfect fit for us because we're not teaching the basics of, okay, very first create a hook and then say this. We're not doing that. We're past that point. Again, we're going nuanced here. We're going super detailed. So a lot of the times too, we attract marketers as well. We attract people who are teaching marketing, but you know, sometimes you're just so close to what you're doing, it's hard for you to see. But that is an ability we want them to have. So this is a skill set. I'll use this as an example of not for us, but in another example. This would be like you being a fitness trainer that is teaching CrossFit style workouts. A skill you would want your client to have is that they can run a mile. They can run a mile. Because you wouldn't want, if you had someone who has never exercised, never done a CrossFit class, they're probably not the best fit for you. So this, again, could go even into tangible skills. What could they have, right? Another, and this can go intangible or intangible. Another skill that we really love our clients to have is the skill of communication, right? How are they communicating and building relationships with their clients? If we went to their content, we went to their social media handles, are they replying to the comments that people are already leaving? Are they asking questions? What are they doing, right? Are they building relationships? Because that is super important to us because we understand relationships go a really long way. And so if they have the skill of relationship building, that's going to help us out tremendously. Also, another skill we would love for them to have is being able to manage their clients' results, right? Obviously, that's a really big one. If they're getting a bunch of these clients and they aren't able to get their clients' results, they're probably not going to be the best fit for us because how are we going to be using those results in their content and using those coaching stories in their content?
Yeah.
It goes very nuanced. What's another skill?
Yeah, that's the main one that I was going to say is just, yeah, our clients have the ability. They are a master at their craft. They do consider themselves and their clients consider them an expert at what they do. And that is really important too, because that automatically just when our clients come to us, we're not spending a lot of time trying to boost their confidence they're like really good at what they do. They know they're damn good at what they do. And now it's just, okay, how do I stop being the, you know, internet's best kept secret? Even if I've already made close to or more than 6 figures, they might still feel the internet's best kept secret because if they're charging mid to high ticket, they might not have billions of clients. They might just have handfuls of really incredible clients because they're really incredible at what they do. And now it's just, again, amplifying that. So that is really important because we don't want to spend a lot of time. The examples that I gave in previous episodes where I was working with newbies, which again was super fun, but I spent a lot of time. I was oftentimes their first introduction to mindset work, which was a huge honor for me. And still to this day, they come back and tell me you were one of the most inspirational and influential people in my entire life, and that's an honor. But also, that's not where we're working. That's not the type of client that we're working with now. They need to have a lot of that. And the last thing that I'll add about the abilities is that our clients already, again, are doing a lot of these. They understand and they are implementing some of the internal practices, right? They might be meditating, journaling, self-coaching, doing breath work, things like that. But maybe it's just not super consistent, but it's definitely not new to them.
Yeah, we don't want someone getting on our call and us breaking out and doing some energy clearing and they're being, what the F is this? We don't want that. We want, because we incorporate a lot of that in our work, right? Because we truly believe that the body and the subconscious brain go hand in hand. It does. It's not that we believe it. It just, it's a fact. It does. Yeah. And we do a lot of that work, and we don't want our clients to get on a call with us and then we're sitting here like doing hypnosis with them and they're like, what the flip is this? I didn't sign up for this. And we talk about that in our content. Okay, next one is awareness. So this is their knowledge and also how they think. So again, a lot of these bleed into each other, but here's one thing we really truly want our clients to know and understand is that your marketing and your messaging is a huge reflection of your mindset. They understand that the strategy and the somatics and the subconscious go hand in hand. We do not want to have to convince people that mindset work is important, right? Because that's just not going to be our ideal client. And also, how are they thinking? We also want our clients, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, we want them to understand we talked about this in the results versus the reason, right? In the very first episode, the results versus the reasons why. And the reason, we want them to know the reasons why, basically. So our clients, we don't want them to be like, oh yeah, I just want to make more money, right? That's actually not even in a congruent with our clients. Yes, they want to make more money, but that's not their main objective. They understand, if I had more potent marketing, if I had messaging that spoke to my ideal client, I would be able to focus more on bringing my gift to the world and attracting the people that is here for my gift. And that would mean the world to me. Right? If I had marketing as potent and clear as me, as an individual and the work that I do, then I know I would be unstoppable. Then I know that my work would be delivered to more people. I would have the capacity to serve more people. And so we want them to know that already. We don't want them to come to us and say, I'm not making money because I don't know how to create an Instagram reel. No, that's not what we want, right? Those are not our people. So the awareness is, what do they already know? And another example that I use all the time, not in the lens of mine and Rachel's ideal client, is it's if you are an email marketing strategist, you want your clients to already understand that email marketing is not dead. Stop saying it in your content, right? We talk about it all the time. Stop saying it in your content. You are attracting people who are, you're trying to convince that email marketing is not dead. You want the people who are like, no, I know email marketing is not dead. It's one of my most potent platforms and I just want to enhance it, right? There's a difference between being broken and needing something to be fixed or something being okay and it being better. And we want the people who are like, yeah, my marketing right now is okay, but I know it could be a heck of a lot better. And it's coming from a place of abundance and not from scarcity or ego. It's not coming from a place of, I just want more people to know my name because I'm fabulous. Yes, we want you, you are fabulous. It's amazing. But they are coming from a place of, I'm fabulous and I want to, the work that I do is so amazing and I want so many other people to experience. They're here for the collective. That's our Aquarius energy. Me and Rachel both have the Aquarius moon and I'm an Aquarius north node. So it is, it's all about how
we both do.
You have an Aquarius north node too?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Did I know that?
Yes, you did. We have talked extensively. Okay, there's this great book. It's called Astrology for the Soul. And you should all go read it. But
she's got like three different books. Yeah, it's good. I don't know why. I think I did know that, but my mind was like, oh, it's in a different house than mine.
Yeah, it is.
My Aquarius is in my fifth house, and then my Leo is in my 11th house. So me and Rachel have that Leo South node for all of our astrology people in here. Again, we also want you to know about a little bit of human design and astrology because we go into it. But yeah, we both have that Aquarius North node. And so we have embodied that Leo South node, because it's all about us. But we're bringing it to the collective and we want that. That is what we want our people. We just did the money, sacred money archetypes with Denise Duffield Thomas. And I got Maverick, which was the top one. Rachel got Alchemist, but she also got Maverick as her third one. And it was, that was a big thing of like, yes, we totally are here to be different in the world and bring that Aquarius energy to the world and literally help women create wealth and do it on their own terms. It's amazing, right? And we want that. We want our clients to have that desire and think that way, right? Anything else you want to add to awareness?
I think just to add to that, it's we want our clients, again, to be the change makers, right? They're not coming to us because they only want better messaging so that they can make more money and have quote unquote financial freedom. That is only a sliver of it. There's so much depth to it. And we want them to also have the awareness and understanding and conviction too that they are always willing to be the most coachable person in the room because they're always looking to expand and to grow, and recognizing that even though they are an expert, they are incredible at what they do. Again, Ashley said, we do attract a lot of people who are also messaging coaches or mindset coaches, or they have these skill sets, but they're like, I'm also willing to learn. I'm willing to grow because I'm in this for the long game. Which is hilarious because when you think about when you have that belief, when you have that awareness and that belief pattern that I'm in this, I will not quit. This is my life's work. Then you get out of that short-term, get rich quick kind of mentality. And then when our clients come into the container, they're able to get richer faster because they're not trying to, which is so interesting. Like a lot of times people I see when they market to the people who want money and want it now, they market to the people that
don't end up getting it.
Quit.
Their clients don't end up getting it. Yeah, we see that quite often. Exactly. You make more money when, because your clients are, you're attracting clients who that is their main driver. And actually, I was just listening to an Abraham Hicks thing this morning, and she was talking to the guy, and the guy was talking about all these things that he wanted. And she was like, when you're focusing on the drought, you can't expect to get rain. And I was like, oh, no good. And it's funny because when these people, like we, and I will say, like, I used to market this way. I think we all have it. We're all super guilty of this. And the people that I attracted really did think that money was just supposed to fall out of the sky and into their lap. And sometimes it did. I'm not even going to lie. Sometimes it did, but it was all gone because they didn't know how to actually hold it and receive it, which is a big thing we also talk about. But yeah, it's their main focus. And I think the maverick, you and I both have that maverick. And one of the things that they said in there was, we have this thought of when I make money, then I can change the world. But it's, I can change the world through money. It's not like money, 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 money. It's like our focus is on changing the world, but we understand that money is a resource to that. And so the more money that we can make, the more good we can do, which is amazing. Yeah. Okay, let's get to the next one because we're running out of time. Okay, Fifth A is the attraction. Whoop, whoop. And this is kind of where all the subconscious programming comes in. So the attractions here are their desires or their emotional addiction. So everyone has an emotional addiction. A lot of entrepreneurs that we work with have the emotional addiction of anxiety or chaos, right? And they have those subconscious patterns of something around, I have to work really hard to make a lot of money. And so we see that. We've already even used the example of that earlier. And they will tend to attract people or speak to people who actually make it harder for them to get results because they have this subconscious desire to actually work harder because it is comfortable to their system. So a way to figure this out for you and your client is a lot of what I call if this, then that statement. So it's a, if I had money, then X, Y, and Z, and I will feel X, Y, and Z. So a lot of the times, if you ask your clients that, if they come to you and be like, oh, I really want more money. If you said, if you put it in that term of when I have more money, or if I had more money, then, and then whatever answer they give you, and then I will feel, and then they give you an emotion. The opposite of that emotion is their emotional addiction. So they will always self-sabotage. This is where you should really figure out your self-sabotage patterns with your client, because they will always try to get back to that opposite emotion, right? This is why everyone who has lots of anxiety and who is chaotic always want peace and freedom, right? How many of you are always out there like, oh, I just want clarity? Or people who are stuck in the emotion of confusion always want clarity, right? So then they're like, well, if I work with a coach, they'll give me all the answers and then I'll feel clear. No, you'll never feel clear because you're addicted to confusion. And this is where also a lot of the NLP patterns. And this is where you'll be able to talk about these things and shift them in your content and help people look at it in a different light. And there's so many different patterns that you can use with that. So for us, our attraction, for our clients, their desires, again, is what I just said with the, if I had money, then I'd be able to change the world. And then I would feel confident, or I would feel powerful. I would feel whatever. And a lot of the times our clients are very powerful beings, but they don't feel powerful because they're not creating messaging that is showing their power. Does that make sense? So for us, it's when we talk about that in our marketing and our messaging, it is around creating content that is as powerful as you and the work that you do. We do that on purpose because, again, that is an attraction to our clients. Our clients want to feel powerful because right now they believe they're powerful, but they don't feel super powerful in their marketing and in their content because they aren't attracting the perfect fit clients.
Thanks for listening to the No Farting Around Show. It's been an absolute blast making a big stink with you. If you find yourself gasping for more, then come join me over on my socials. Links are below. If you enjoyed this episode, don't fart and dart. Please leave a review. It would be greatly appreciated. Cheers to breaking wind, I mean barriers, and I'll see you in the next episode.